Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Sunday morning message at Bayleaf Baptist Church. Bayleaf Baptist Church is under the leadership of Pastor Marty Jackman. Our Sunday morning services meet at 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us now as we dive into God's Word.
Today, I want to bring you a message that continues kind of as we have looked. I've not been putting it up on the board, but I kind of hope that you've been able to see a little bit of how we've been working once again through our strategy map. Because I've been preaching about worshiping together and the importance of coming together corporately and worshiping the Lord. And we looked at growing together in groups and how it's important for us to grow together. And then we looked at service, how we all have opportunities to serve the Lord together. And we're going to continue over the next few weeks looking at life on mission. And the message that I want to bring you today, I've entitled United on Mission. United together on mission. As I have been watching the news this week, I've been reminded of how important it is for the church to continue forward on the mission, taking the gospel around the world. The events that the earlier in the week of the events happening in North Korea and how it seems like we're just one decision away from World War III. And trust me, if China and the United States are involved in a conflict, it will be a world war. One decision away, and just how that has gripped my mind. And then it's with great sadness, the fact that I look, and you would think that the potential of World War III would be the lead story on the news, but it was not the lead story. It was the terrible events that were taking place yesterday in Charlottesville, Virginia. And just with sadness, you read of three individuals who have lost their life over this conflict. And let me just say this. If you ever wonder, where does your pastor stand? I want to be very clear right now. And that is the fact that racism is evil and cannot go hand in hand with the Word of God. And the Church of Christ needs to stand up against it. White nationalism, the alt-right, the alt-left, any group that seeks to divide people according to race is void of the gospel. And church, we cannot be silent. We must stand against it because that is not where Christ is. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I grew up in a home where I was taught from a very early age, and some of you were too. The question, do we really believe it? Where it says, Jesus loves, let's sing it together. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. What does it say next? Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Church, we've got to stand. We've got to stand for God's truth. And if there are any groups, right or left, that seeks to divide people according to race, the church needs to stand up against it. Well, you say, Pastor, it seems like the world's gone mad. Now, we got the threat of war. We've got people rising up against people. How do we carry forth with the mission? What's the verses we're going to look at today? See, the Apostle Paul is writing these words from jail. And the Apostle Paul was writing in a day in which there was the rumors of war. There was the divisions of Jews and Gentiles. There was the rising up of different people groups. There was the threat of overthrowing powers. Just like the world we live in today, that is the world in which Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, reminding them of several things. Reminding them that first of all, their true citizenship was in heaven. That first and foremost, their citizenship was not of this world, but it was of God's kingdom. Now, they were to be good citizens. They were to be the good citizens to render unto Caesar what is Caesar. They were to be good citizens within their community. But their true allegiance first and foremost, was to that of Christ. He's going to remind them that they are to live lives worthy of the gospel and that these lives are powerful testimonies. And he reminds them that they are to be united together on mission with one heart, one mind, carrying forth the gospel unto the world. Follow along. I'm going to begin in verse 27 today as we look at being united on mission for Christ. It says in verse 27, just one thing. As citizens of heaven, he comes down, he's been talking about living for Christ. He's been talking about to live as Christ and to die as gain. He's been talking about advancing the gospel. And it comes down, he says, just one thing. As citizens of heaven, live your life worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or am absent, I will hear about you that you are standing firm in one spirit, in one accord, contending together for the faith of the gospel, and not being frightened in any way by your opponents. This is a sign of destruction for them, but of your salvation. And this is from God, for it has been granted to you on Christ's behalf, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are engaged in the same struggle that you saw I had and now hear that I have. Church, today, I want to really two points. And in this, how do we stay united on mission? And we're really going to look at two things that this text says that God gives us. I think one of them we could understand, but perhaps one of them we're going to have to be challenged with. These things that God gives us in order for us to stay united as his church, as he said here, one heart, one accord, living for the gospel, taking the gospel into the world. What are these two things that we have in the world that we live in, this world gone mad, a world very similar to what Paul lived in? What do we have to carry forth the gospel? The first key is this: we are united in strength. We are united in strength. Now you say, well, how? How is it that we are united in strength? Well, we just sung about it a few minutes ago. You are stronger. You are stronger. Now we sang that. Do we understand that? Do we believe that? In the last service, I did this little test. I'm gonna see if we understand what opposites are, okay? I'm gonna say a word and you shout out what the opposite is, okay? Day. Not much of a shout, but I'll take it, okay? Cold. Jesus. No. Good effort. Brilliant, but wrong, okay? Understand this. Satan and Jesus are not equal. Satan is powerful. Satan is more cunning, but Satan is not equal to Jesus Christ. There are none, nothing that is on equal terms with God. So what he's saying here is that you don't have to be. When he says, you live your life, let's start at verse 27. As citizens of heaven, so as citizens of heaven, that word citizen, you know what word we get from the word citizen in the Greek? Politics, that's the word we get from that. You are citizens of heaven, and in that, live your life worthy of the gospel. So he's our king. And then Paul's saying, whether or not I'm there or whether or not I just hear. Here's what I know I will hear. I will hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, in one accord, contending together for the faith of the gospel. Then it says this, not being frightened in any way by your opponents. He's saying you stand firm in the faith. You proclaim the gospel, and in this world that's gone half mad, you do not have to be afraid. You don't have to be intimidated by the world. You don't have to be intimidated by those who seek to harm you. You don't even have to be intimidated if the devil himself were to come up against you. Why? Because God is stronger. And even in the midst of turmoil, there is nothing more powerful than Christ. So we're united in strength because Christ is with us and we are already serving in his victory because he overcame the grave. You know, it's interesting that he's writing this to the church at Philippi. And I wonder if this would have been known, because if you study Philippian history, there's an amazing event that happened in 42 BC. So perhaps some of those who are reading this, probably not, but perhaps some of them would have remembered, or they would have certainly heard about the Battle of Philippi, 42 BC. In the Battle of Philippi, you had opposite forces, both just legions of soldiers, and it was a group led by Mark Antony and led by Octavian. And they were fighting for forces that had been loyal to the assassinated Julius Caesar. Now, on the other hand, you had Brutus and you had Octavian. And the battle for Philippi is raging. And Cassius is fighting against Mark Antony. And it's kind of a stalemate. But in another area, Brutus is actually beating Octavian. But the message comes to Cassius, and it's the wrong message. So even though they are winning the battle, the message comes that the war is lost, that they are losing. And in the midst, even though the victory is happening, Cassius makes the decision to end his life, and he commits suicide on the battlefield. And I thought about that because there are many believers today, when they see the madness of the world, they see Christians losing their life, they see immoral and immoral things, immorality in the world. Instead of continuing on in the mission, they throw up their hands, they give up, and they walk away from the mission. And they need to be reminded, we all need to be reminded of the strength that we have in Christ. I'll tell you a story that I love the word. How many of you have read? It's written in 1941 by C.S. Lewis, The Screwtape Letters. Just show a hand. It's not a pride thing, but I just kind of want to know who's read it. Well, interesting, C.S. Lewis wrote The Screwtape Letters while he was sitting in church because he said the preaching was boring. So if any of you are working on a book right now, I pray it's just as successful as The Screwtape Letters and that you'll tithe off the royalties. That's what I pray. But he was writing The Screwtape Letters, and it's a fictional account, understand this, that takes place in a time of war. We know Lewis is writing this during World War II. And the story is that it's in the demonic world. And you've got kind of a head demon named Screwtape. And he is writing to his young nephew, a young apprentice demon named Wormwood. And Wormwood is trying to get advice on, well, how do I get the person I'm assigned to stumble and to fall and to walk away from his faith? And there's several things they go through. But it's interesting, one of the things that Screwtape says to his nephew, he says this, if we can get them to be afraid, that is a key. For fear will make them turn to sin. Fear will make them turn to sin. And that is a tactic that the devil uses. He wants you to be afraid. He wants you to be afraid of one another. He wants you to be afraid of the world. He wants you to be afraid of your opponents, that Paul would say. He wants you to be afraid of everything because he knows if you were afraid, it will hinder your effectiveness for God's kingdom. And what we need to be reminded of, he says this, we have no reason to be intimidated by our opponents because Christ has secured the victory. So in this world gone mad, what are you afraid of? Would you right now say, fear has just gripped my heart. I'm afraid of what might take place. I'm afraid of what's happening in my family. I'm afraid of what's happening at work. Let me tell you what we've got to learn to do. We have got to learn to turn that over to Christ. We've got to learn to give it to him. Let him deal with that fear because he says right now, I want you to be united on mission. I want you to be carrying forth the cross into the world. And you turn your fear over to me because there's no need for you to be afraid of your opponents. Why? Because he stands with us. So we are united in strength because here's what he said. Let me just make sure you get it. And this is from God, verse 29. For it has been granted to you on Christ's behalf, not only to believe. So that's that belief. We're united in strength because God gives us the ability to trust him, to walk with him, to go forth united on mission because we know we are not alone. He is with us. Now, the second key in being united on mission is this. We are united in suffering. We're united in suffering. He says, on Christ's behalf, not only to believe, then he says this, but also to suffer for him. So he gives us the ability to believe in him. In a way, he's saying he gives us the honor and the privilege and the ability to suffer for him. Since you are engaged, then he says this, in the same struggle that you saw I had now and now here. Now, what does that mean? See, folks, understand this. When Paul was in Philippi, he was beaten almost to death. So the people hearing this letter, they would have seen Paul almost beaten to death, suffering for Christ for the sake of the gospel. Well, now he's writing from prison. So they're saying, wait a minute, we saw him beaten and now we know he's in prison. Paul understands suffering. I've wondered, what would a believer, let's say that's in Syria or in Iraq, and I know of a believer there, and I were to write him from North Raleigh a letter, and I would say something like this, I understand fully the suffering you're going through. You really? What, Chick-fil-A run out of chicken nuggets or something? I mean, what? Man, I don't understand the suffering they're going through. But let me tell you something, Paul did. Paul wrote this letter and he says, it is an honor and a privilege if I'm called to suffer for Christ because of the testimony that is going forth of his grace and his power. He's writing this. He's not only telling them to endure suffering, he is telling them, I have endured suffering and I will continue to endure suffering for the cause of Christ. And here's when I said this will challenge us, because in a world where prosperity gospel is so prevalent, here's what we think. Okay, if I'm fighting from strength, if man, everything's good, I sense the power of Christ, boy, I tell you what, I'll do anything. But if there's suffering comes, we automatically kind of put that with Satan. Is if I'm suffering, that must be the attack of Satan. It's not what Paul says. Paul says that it is on behalf of Christ. He says, and this is from God, for it has been granted to you on Christ's behalf, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. He's saying that it is a testimony. It is a privilege if we are called, and we should do it in strength, to suffer for the gospel. I wrote down four things here. I said, how does God use suffering in our lives? And if you're suffering right now, maybe you want to write these down. You know, if you're not suffering, hold on. You may be. You may want to write them down. Number one, earthly suffering takes our eyes off earthly comforts and puts our dependence on Christ. Earthly suffering will take our eyes off our earthly comforts and remind us of our dependence in Christ. See, the things that so often we hold as most valuable can be taken away just like that. And it reminds us that our ultimate dependence, it's on Christ. It's nothing of this earth. But my ultimate dependence is upon Him. The second thing is that suffering weeds out superficial believers. Yeah, I've met people again, if everything's all right, they are more than willing to praise the Lord. But you let just a hint of something go bad, and they will walk away in a moment. I tell you, I just began as I was writing this, thinking about folks. Some of you are sitting right here, and I have seen you walk through family tragedies. I've seen you walk through the death of a child or a grandchild. I've seen you walk through cancer. I've seen you walk through turmoil. And you have been an amazing blessing to my heart and an encouragement to me, because I've seen you not walk away from the faith, but I've seen you stand firm in the faith. The third thing is that it strengthens us. Is that oftentimes turmoil, tribulation, suffering, it strengthens us in our ability to walk with Christ, because Christ is revealing Himself through the suffering. You know, I've heard it said, I've used it in this place before, that I've heard, you know, a Christian's a lot like a tea bag. We're not really useful till we've had some hot water poured over us. And that's exactly the truth, because when we've gone through that suffering, I love what John Piper says. He says, very few times have I heard someone say that while walking through the primrose path of prosperity, God revealed Himself deepest to me. No, it's often when we are going through the midst of fighting, turmoil, and struggle, that's when God reveals Himself. And the fourth is this, it speaks to others. It speaks to others. When we are able to endure suffering, it is a testimony unto others. And I love how he says in this, is when we endure with strength, it is a loud testimony to the destruction of those who stand opposed to Christ, but to our salvation, because we understand that our strength is in Him, our future is in Him, and we walk with Him. So it's a testimony to others, because, you know, I think people will look at our lives when things are good, but church, they'll really look at our lives when things are bad. And they want to know if the gospel we proclaim that says will bring hope to the hopeless, it brings hope when we're in desperation. You know, it's been a testimony. Paul would say to Timothy, you're going to suffer for the gospel, but yet the gospel will go forth. Even to the point of martyrdom, it was the church father Tertullian that said the blood of the martyrs, that's what fueled the early church. How do you go from a small sect of people in the first century to just the gospel explosion in the world in less than 500 years? Why? Because the blood of the martyrs was fueling the church. And people were saying, wait a minute, you're willing to lay down your life for this message? That's something I want to know more about. Heard a story this week about the first Scottish martyr during the Reformation. His name was Patrick Hamilton. And Patrick Hamilton was arrested, tried, condemned, and burned at the stake in the same day. It said, and you can go there and see the marker there. It's right in front of St. Salvador's College in St. Andrews, Scotland. It's where he was tied to the pyre. And he continued to sing psalms of praise to God. He was given the opportunity to renounce his faith, and he would not. And so they set the fire, and he began to burn, but the fire went out. And it took them 6 hours. It took 6 hours for Patrick Hamilton to finally expire, to finally die. After that event, some of the Roman Catholic leaders went to Cardinal Beaton and said this, never again martyr someone. Never again burn a Protestant in public. Take them down to a dungeon. take them in private. Here was his words, for the reek of this smoke is blowing the Reformation all over Scotland. The reek of the smoke, because here was one saying, you know what? I will suffer gladly for Christ. And whether I live, I will live for him. And if I die, I will be with him. Just as others have suffered, I am willing to suffer. So yes, we are united in suffering. And folks, let me tell you, in the world that we live in that's gone half mad, if we truly will stand, if we will stand with Christ, not a Christ we've invented, but if we will stand with the true Christ of the Bible, and we will stand on the gospel, we will suffer. But we do it gladly and we do it together for the cause of Christ. Let's take the strength of Christ and be united as the body of Christ and fulfill the mission that he has given us. J. Vernon McGee said this, if the church will be the church, the world will listen to the message we proclaim. What is that message? It is a message of hope. And it's a message of strength. And it's a message of enduring suffering. Why? Because Christ is worth it. He is worth anything that he would ask us to give up. He is worth anything that he would ask us to do. He is worth anything that he would ask us to serve anyway. He is worth it. And church, we must be united on mission for Christ. Let's pray together.
Thank you for listening. We hope your heart was blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information on the ministries at Bayleaf Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.bayleaf.org or give us a call, 919-847-4477. Thanks again and have a blessed day.